Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Believe You Me. Unfortunately, Luis J. Gomez is back. He has decided to grant us with his presence back, looking carefree, looking like you got a little bit of sunburn on you there, Luis, as well. I'm not sure if it's orange or if it's brown. It's a kind of a mixture of the both. I mean, were you applying sun cream while you were there? Did you allow baby James to get burnt? I know you stranded him. I know you left him stranded with some weird taxi driver on your way back to the airport. But at least tell me, please tell me, he had sun cream on.
Hey, man, you're not going to make me feel bad about me stranding my baby with the taxi driver, Mr. William.
Yeah, I was going to say his name's a Mr. William, man. You know, right about now.
Right about now. None of that was real. I had so many well wishes. People being like, dude, are you okay? Like, is your family okay? I was like, no, I'm fucking around. Chase, I was just fucking with Chase, which is what I do with customers, because they have to answer you. They can't ignore you. So I make up crazy stories with customer service people all the time just because I want to fuck with them. But I will say, fuck Chase. I do not love Chase Bank right now.
Hang on. Luis, this is going to blow your mind, but I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe some of the people listening to this show right now don't follow you on Twitter. There's people out there in the world that don't follow you on Twitter that have no context to what you're talking about right now.
Impossible.
So I'll break it down. Yeah, yesterday, I'm there. I'm luxuriating. It's a beautiful day. I'm sitting in the back garden. I'm actually trying to get a little bit of sun myself. I've got some catching up to do with you. I can clearly see that. But, you know, I'm looking after myself. I want to get tanned. I'm in the garden. I take a little break from reading the 48 Laws of Power, and I glance to Twitter. And there is Luis J. Gomez. Once again, if you don't follow him, shame on you, really, because nothing but drama, nothing but entertainment on his Twitter feed. And this time, the object of fury, or the company of fury that Luis is spouting his hatred towards, is Chase Bank. Because, and I'll agree with what somebody tweeted, $500 a day is your withdrawal limit. He's bitching, saying, I can't get more money out. So therefore, we're stranded. We can't get to the airport. I saw some comment that said, Luis, maybe if you planned ahead a little better, you know, you wouldn't be in this predicament right now. So there you go. There you go, buddy.
So let me tell you what happened. Okay, so, all right. I did not plan ahead. And this is why it was a joke, okay? It was the last day of the trip. We have the villa, right? And you're tipping out the staff. And we also have to pay our driver for the whole week of rides. So I have to go get like $700 or $800 out of the ATM machine on the last day. I'm not even thinking about the fact that there's a $500 withdrawal limit. And this is the day before we're leaving. I have another day, by the way. But I wanted to just make one final trip to the ATM machine and then pay everyone out. Took out $500, couldn't take out anymore. Call the bank, and they're like, oh, yeah, no, you have a $500 limit. Like, let's see if we can raise the limit. And I'm going like, okay, obviously you're going to be able to raise my limit. I have an insane amount of money that goes through your bank, not only with my personal accounts.
Can I just say this, by the way, prior to starting the show, I was walking the dogs around the block quickly, and Luis told me this story. And he's like, yeah, because I told them, I have an insane amount of money going through that account. It's a lot of money. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I need to see the books on this podcast. What the fuck is going on? An insane amount of money. Holy fucking Christ, Luis.
I will say, it's not that much money.
Easy tiger.
I have a personal account. I have two business accounts with Chase. It's not like it's all money that goes to me, but like, yeah, my fucking comedy festival, there's a lot of money that goes to that bank account. They can just
change. You've changed. You've changed. I swear to God. The man I knew, humble, you know, you're trying to get ahead in life. You're trying to claw your way up the ladder. And now listen to him. Hark at him. Oh, I have an insane amount of money going through the bank account every single month. When I was walking along, I was like, I was shocked. I had to double check. Am I speaking to Luis J. Gomez?
Do you mean as you were sitting in your fucking garden on the east wing of your half mansion? You know what? I'm not going to be judged by you, I Mr. Like Bisping. Lewis. Thank you very much, Brendan Schaub. I like Brendan. Continue. I'll say it on record. All right, so
I love Brendan. Continue.
I find out that I have a $500 limit. I'm like, all right, well, can you raise it? So I'm on the phone with him for like 45 minutes. It's my last day on vacation, trying to get my limit raised. And then I'm going, it doesn't even matter. I'm leaving tomorrow. I can go tomorrow. But at this point, I'm just like trying to prove a point. This is such like this why like I the it's like a Larry David moment where it's like I don't need the money right now. I just can leave it. But it's the point. So I start lying to them and telling them that I'm stranded with my son and my niece, and we're on the way to the airport. We can't pay our driver, and he's going to leave us, and we have no options. And they just didn't give a shit. They're like, yeah, well, sorry, you got to go find cash back somewhere. So then I started tweeting about how our driver kidnapped us, and I just wanted to see how far I could take it, not realizing that people don't think I'm funny. So anything they see me write, they're like, this must be serious. And
go on.
This is me pretending that he took my phone. Bisman, you want to read it?
Yeah, no, I did. This is William, famous comedian, Luis Gomez's Jamaica driver. I like what you did there. You left out the J on purpose to make it seem like someone else. If you were... Oh, no, hold on.
You got to do it in the
accent. Right about now, man. This is your boy, William. You know, right about now, I was taking the man to Gomez, but he left his seat on the car. So I grabbed the motherfucker. I said, Luis Gomez, Jamaican driver. If you want to see him or his family again, man, Chase must increase his daily ATM spending limit to at least 1,000. We'll be waiting right about now. We will be waiting. And they didn't come back to you, right?
Well, they tweeted back at me, but then I just started like tweeting them random gibberish in a Jamaican accent.
I mean, yeah, did you drop the right about no? They're like, oh god, this guy's serious. They're like, no, this guy's a fucking moron. I gotta say, Lewis, listen. Everybody knows you have a daily withdrawal limit. It is not their fault. I've got your back. I'm your friend. I want you to be happy. And I understand that's your cash. It is your cash in there. But everybody knows about the daily withdrawal limit. Did you not have a second card? Could you not pay for things, could you not pay for it?
No, I told you. I didn't need it.
The old swipe a Rooney.
No, because this is at the villa. You have to pay everyone in cash. We swipe in card.
I'm talking about the taxi. I guarantee. Oh, hold on. What about Uber? Why couldn't you Uber to the airport? Tell me that the dog got no Ubers in Jamaica, man.
No Uber in Jamaica, man. And no, our driver drove us around for the whole week. It's cash. We knew that eventually. It also was a point. It was not actually a problem. It was no problem. It just, I invented the problem. And then I started getting angry because I started going like, okay, well, what if this really was the fucking problem? You'd leave a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old stranded. And then I started getting myself worked up. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been walking down the street with a girl that's not your wife or your girlfriend? And then somebody hits on her. And then you're like, well, dude, you don't know that she's not my fucking girlfriend. So you start getting yourself worked up for no reason. It's not actually offensive.
No, I've never done that. But I do wind myself up because I'll be totally fine about something. And then I'll start explaining it to somebody. And Rebecca will be there. And she's seen that I'm fine about the subject. And then I start explaining it. And I'm like, yeah, and this guy didn't do that. And then I start getting mad. And then I start winding myself up over it. And then I call out the person back and like have a go at them. And say, actually, on second thoughts, I've been thinking about this situation. And you can go fuck yourself. And Rebecca's like, you're a psycho. What are you doing? You were totally fine with it. I'm like, yeah. But when I explained it to that guy, I realized that this motherfucker is taking advantage. So, yeah, I do that. I do wind myself up. I want to ask you, Lewis, you've been banging on. You've been going on. You've been showing on Instagram that you're working out and all the rest of it. Did you keep up with the workout regime while you were away?
No, not even slightly. I was going to. My son's mother was sick. The whole deal was she was like, oh, we'll jog every day. We'll do some yoga. I was like, sweet. Let's do it. I would love to. And we ended up, she was sick, so she ended up not wanting to work out. I was okay because I'm really doing no gluten or sugar. And for the most part, it's like rice and potatoes and things, so I could have that. But I did not work out. I definitely put on some pounds, but I'm very committed. Like this morning, even just flying back, I didn't eat anything bad. I was like, fuck this, I'm coming back. I'm going to work out tonight. I'm back on the road tomorrow, but I'm really committed to, it's a psychological thing. I've already crossed that threshold where I'm like committed to doing this.
Listen, at the end of the day, you're in Jamaica, man, right? You're with your family. You're with James, the mother of James. You're with family, aunties. By the way, I saw your pictures and whatnot. Look beautiful. Good for you. So who gives a fuck? Who? And I swear to God, I mean this. When you're on holiday, when you're on, if you want to do it, if you feel like doing that, then great, go ahead. But if there's any time you can just say, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the moment. I'm going to lie on the beach. I'm going to have a cheeky little can of Red Stripe. I'm going to have a beer. You know, I mean, as long as things don't spiral out of control and you're fucking snorting cocaine up a hooker's ass at 5 a.m, you know what I mean? Then it's okay. You're on vacation. Listen, you do you, buddy. Enjoy
I'm not doing
yourself.
That in Jamaica. I'm not getting Jamaican coke or a Jamaican hooker. That sounds like a problem waiting to happen. Okay.
I don't know. It sounds like a good time.
It's Miami, Vegas. There's other places I would do coke off a hooker's ass. But I will say it was pretty goddamn incredible. I talked about it a million times. Doing a villa is 100 times better than a resort. We had our own private chef. We had a fucking cliff that we could dive off every day. It was really, really cool. We had a little private cliff diving thing.
I saw it. Yeah. I saw it. I also saw the jiggle of the stomach as you jumped off, Lewis. I got to say, there was a little jiggly baby. Jiggly baby jumping off the cliff.
You're not beating me in this. This is the extreme.
Stop. But now we won't get into the whole, you know, trying to inspire people. But I was at the gym this morning when you were sat on the plane, no doubt eating your highly salted cashew nuts and your little snacks, maybe some Cheez-Its, a couple of cookies. Maybe you washed it down with a Sprite. I'm going to guess you did 2,000 calories on that flight alone.
Nope.
I was at the gym this morning, chest day. But guess what? I encountered something that very, very much annoys me. Okay. It's the man wearing the gloves. The man with the gloves in the gym. Lewis, I know you are such a person, right? You wear the weightlifting gloves, correct?
I don't need to. I like having the calluses in my hands. I like feeling like a man. Yeah, even like the weightlifting belt, the gloves, the whole getup. I feel like half of it's a costume. Also, when you're lifting for your back, you're not supposed to wear a belt, right? Isn't the idea... I guess if you're injured, you should, but isn't the idea that you're sort of like, you want to use your back muscles, so go with lighter weight versus going with really heavy weight and needing a belt?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure about the science behind that, but I have heard conflicting reviews on the belt around the back and whatnot, and the gloves. I feel like it's just a certain sector of people want to wear that, so they feel like a badass. Like my mate Blanky, right? One of my best mates in the entire world from Clitheroe. Love Blanky. We used to go to the gym with each other all the time, and he fucking put on the weightlifting gloves. And most of the time, we'd end up like bitching at each other because he'd just want to talk. He'd like do... 5 reps, and then he'd want to spend 10 minutes fucking chatting away. I'm like, Blanky, come on, let's go. But he didn't touch your weight until those fucking weightlifting gloves were on, okay? So it's a look. They want to be perceived as the badass in the gym. Anyway, today, this is why I hate the gloves in the gym. If you want to look like a professional weightlifter, go ahead, be my guest. If you want to look like a douchebag with the gloves on, be my guest. If you want to wear a weight belt, whatever it is, but let's stick it to the gloves. That's okay. You want to wear those gloves, you wear those gloves. But let me ask you this. You're in a gym, you're sweating like crazy, you're lifting weights, you've got those weird gloves on. Where do you think all the bacteria and the sweat is going? There is no more bacteria in any gym than those weightlifting gloves that somebody is wearing. So don't try and shake my hand. Today I'm there, I'm in the gym, a guy walks over. He was an older guy, a very, very nice man. Hey, Michael, big fan, puts his hand out to shake my hand, but he's got the weightlifting gloves on. Right? I'm like, can't do it.
I just think it's like a movie, slow motion, like you look down at his hand, you start to sweat.
I'm like, hey, what's up? Step away. I'm like, I can't do it. But
give him the elbow.
I'm a respectable man. I offer the fist for the fist bump. And the guy says, Mike, I'm trying to shake your hand. I'm like, yeah. Thanks, buddy. He's got, what, you're going to refuse to shake my hand? I'm a fan of yours, Michael. I'm like, yeah, no, I know. But, you know, I said, you got the weightlifting gloves on. I said, come on, how many germs are on them things? Trying to have a laugh about it. And then he's like, well, you haven't got to be a dick about it. I'm like, I'm not being a dick. I'll give you a fist bump, but you want to shake my hand, I guarantee. Did you put those? How many people are taking those weightlifting gloves home and washing them
Never.
On a regular basis?
Well, they're leather. Nobody's washing leather fucking weightlifting gloves. And I agree with you.
Exactly. Yeah, because you touch all those, you touch all the equipment, you touch, you know, these different people's sweat. The sweat seeps into the gloves. I mean, that is a breeding ground for bacteria. So whoever you were this morning at the gym, I did not mean to cause any offense, and I was very, very nice and polite about it. And anyone else out there in the world, don't attempt to shake somebody's hand if you're wearing weightlifting gloves. Bam, 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 bam.
I think we should stop shaking people's hands in general. The fucking coronavirus is destroying the world right now. We have diseases. We have... just overall, like, I don't know people's cleanliness. I have no idea when's the last time they touched their dicks or their assholes. Just, I think the standard should be a fist bump. The standard should be, hey, yes, fist bump, unless old friend that I happen to know your habits in the bathroom. I happen to know you're a clean dude. Maybe then you shake a little hand, but I think we should just change it and overall make it some sort of a... or even like fist the bump. Elbow, even a fist bump.
Fist bumps are good. If you're a little bit sick, you give the elbow. If it's a total dickhead, you just bump the head. Little Glasgow kiss. Fuck off, dickhead. You know why the handshake started? It was because back in the day when you greeted somebody, you held out your right hand to show you didn't have a weapon. You know, you didn't have a sword or whatever. I mean, I don't know who couldn't spot a fucking sword or a gun in somebody's hand, but still, there you go. That's why you offered out your hand as a sign of peace.
Also, to be honest with you, they didn't have Puerto Ricans back in the day because Puerto Rican, you're like, oh, here we go. Oh, knife, boom, left hand, right there, right in your fucking neck, bitch.
Look over here. See the shiny thing?
You know, I'm listening.
Yeah. Hey, shake my hand. Shake my hand. I'm going to shank you to death and I'm going to steal your $3.35. You know, this morning, driving back from the gym after I'd offended this very nice man, I was listening to the Howard Stern show. And just on, you touched on the coronavirus there for a second. And he was saying, or they were saying, or Robin was saying that. They're saying now that the coronavirus started because it wasn't in humans, much like AIDS. AIDS wasn't in humans, from what I'm led to believe, but it came from people, you know, getting a little bit freaky with monkeys, and that introduced it to the human. Well, that's what they say. That's what scholars tell me.
Is that a real theory?
I have read many books on how the anti-immune deficiency syndrome became present in humans. And from what I am led to believe in my studies, men fucking monkeys is pretty much what caused it. You're looking it up. What does it say?
Let's see. Did AIDS come from monkeys? This is the body.com forums. Evidence strongly indicates that HIV had originated from the SIV virus based on genetic similarities between SIV and HIV. This most likely occurred by humans being directly exposed to monkey blood. There's no significant evidence that HIV was derived from cats. Okay, so all right, it doesn't mean they were having sex with monkeys. It means they could be easily drinking their blood. Come on, bro.
They could be on the set of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and eating monkey brains at that fancy banquet dinner that they had. Maybe that's how they ingested the monkey brains. I am a little more realist. I think they were, you know, some little horny guy. You know, it looked a little funny, but it's like, he looks all right to me. Let's have a do. He looks lonely as well. That's why I think it started. Anyway, they're saying the coronavirus has come from bats and snakes because in China,
A snake is built like a fleshlight. You just fuck it right there. It's perfect. It's designed to fuck.
What do you mean? How do you fuck a fleshlight?
A fleshlight. Remember the fleshlight? No. What?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to make my point that they're eating bats and snakes, and that's how the coronavirus was introduced.
Okay? And I'm saying don't that they might be.
Don't go down to Harrington. You know, on the last show when you weren't here, when you were luxuriating on a beach somewhere while we were working, holding down the fort, I mentioned the coronavirus, and Harrington's joke was, oh, you know, to counter that, Mike, they're injecting the Lyme virus. I'm like, what do you mean, the Lyme virus? He's like, you know, Corona and Lyme.
Oh no.
I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, you were doing so well, Harrington. You were doing so well and you just blew it at the last minute.
Oh no. He's got the coronavirus and Lyme disease. That was the joke he was making.
Oh, Lyme disease. That's it. Lyme disease, not Lyme virus. Whatever.
So are you implying that people are fucking bats or what are they doing with bats? I don't know. It's like a vampire fetish. Like
I don't know. Ask them. I'm not in China. I haven't got the coronavirus, and I don't own a bat or a snake. I do have a bearded dragon up there, okay? But I'm not going to eat it, and I'm certainly not going to fuck it.
All right, pick one. You got to fuck it or eat it.
All right, listen. Jesus Christ. All right, let's go through it. So the bearded dragon, his name is Shady. It's a beloved pet of Lucas, okay? So if I eat it, you know, he'd be dead, he'd be disappeared, and I'd be very full. I'm sure it's very, very lean as well.
I think if you fucked it, it would be dead, by the way.
But if I fucked it, it'd still be there, but I have committed such a sin of bestiality that Lucas will not be able to look me in the eye. He will know, and Shady, as weird as he is, and his head darts around like this, he'll give off some kind of vibe. Lucas will know. I'm fucking Shady. There he is.
Look at him.
There he is. Fuck it. He's kind of attractive in certain, in just the right, when you look at him, the right angle, he's a good-looking bearded dragon.
We have to understand that Shady would probably rather make love to you versus be murdered. Even your son, I think your son would rather.
Listen, you know, it's going to be painful. I'm not bragging about the size of my member, but I'm just saying, Bisping to bearded dragon, it's not going to work. It's just a visual you can't get your head around. You know, yeah. I would literally split into pieces.
Michael Bisping said it best.
Either way, Shady's dead.
Shady's dying. So, Shady, do you want to get fucked to death or you just want to get flushed down the toilet? Pick one.
just a quick chop off the head. Off he goes. Throw him on the barbecue. There you go. And then maybe fuck him after. Whatever.
If your son ever listens to this podcast with us talking about you fucking his bearded dragon.
Yeah, no, if anybody listens to this podcast outside of a regular listener, I'm fired from everything. I'm never working again.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick second and talk about one of our incredible new sponsors, which I love. This is a company that is designed for me and probably honestly for you too, Mike Bisping, Mr. I get dressed up and go on TV all the time. The Black Tux. The Black Tux believes that every groom deserves a better experience when it comes to finding formal wear, a suit, tuxedo, or whatever you need for your big day. It's a pretty incredible company, Mr. Bisping, because I don't have style. I have no idea what a good suit is, what a bad suit is, the amount of buttons. I have no idea how many buttons your suit's supposed to have. It's all crazy to me. The Black Tux does all the work for you.
They do all the work for you, but still, Lewis, the fact you don't know how many buttons is it's not shocking. It can have as many buttons or as little buttons as you want, as long as the thing buttons up and holds your ever-increasing belly in, then that is all that matters. But did you know that Black Tux was actually started by two guys who had one of the worst tuxedo fittings that you could ever imagine? It turns out they aren't alone in this frustration. Just listen to these one-star reviews from competitor tux shops that will remain nameless. I mean, go elsewhere. The place is pretty terrible, unless you're dressing for grandpa for Halloween. Or how about this one? We felt weird buying a suit from somebody so unhappy. We were afraid his bad vibes might follow us to our wedding day, so we left. And of course, this one, you would be better off shopping for suits at Goodwill.
What about this one? The guy that worked at the department store beat up my mother. Right in the middle of the shop. He punched her right in the face.
What about this one? When I was trying on a tuxedo, it fit well, it looked good, but the guy came up and literally spat in my face. Okay? I'll tell you something right now. I'm looking through the ad read here. They don't spit in anybody's face. They don't care if you know how many buttons or not. What I love about Black Tux is that they have an easy online ordering process that brings your suit or tuxedo straight to you. All you got to do is pick a style off the blacktux.com and request a free home try-on so you can feel the fit and, of course, the quality before you commit. And if online isn't your style, the Black Tux does have showrooms all over the country where you can find your fit and plan your look. From there, they'll ship your order within 2 weeks before your wedding so you can check it one last time. I mean, come on, Lewis. Talk about commitment.
That's what I need, because within that 2 weeks, I may put on another 10 pounds. It depends if I go to Jamaica. If I go to Jamaica before my wedding, it's over. I'm going to need a new tux. Let's get real. And they've got you covered. Whether you're looking to buy or rent your outfit, you will not find a formal wear experience or designs like the ones you're going to find at the Black Tux. Right now, here's what you got to do, okay? If you want your wedding to be remembered for the right reasons, order your suit or tuxedo at theblacktux.com. TheBlackTux.com. And Mr. Bisping, tell him about this incredible discount.
Oh my God, listen, I mean, if you want to look good, feel good, and save some money, all you got to do is go to blacktux.com and use the code BELIEVE, BELIEVE, 10% off your first purchase, or 10% off your purchase. The Black Tux, formal wear for the moment. Look good, feel good, save money. You are welcome. blacktux.com, code is BELIEVE. All right, where were we?
Question, real quick, just I think we should check in once in a while because you are reading the 48 Laws of Power. It's one of my favorite books. What law are you on right now? Just a quick. What law are you on? We'll discuss for a second.
It's chapter 5. I don't want to.
Okay, hold on.
Discuss this too much because people don't know. But yes, but I do like it.
We can. Here's what we can do. Okay, you discuss the law.
We didn't say we were going to talk about this. You can't throw curveballs like this. We have a very, very finely planned show, and you're throwing in, oh, let's break down the book that you're reading. So we sound intellectual. So we sound la-di-da. So Lewis can say, oh, yeah, guys. Yeah, I've read that book as well. Oh, yeah, by Robert Greene. Yeah, highly recommend it. We did that once. We did it already. We've been there. But go ahead. Dazzle the audience with your brilliance, Lewis, please.
We don't have to. If you can't handle improvising a little bit, if I want to shake things up a little bit, and that's too much for you, you have to go strictly by the script. By the script, Bisping. That's right. We can rename the show by the script with Michael Bisping. Hey,
bro, you think the conversation about fucking a bearded dragon was in the notes? Okay, that's improvisation at its finest, baby boy. My God, that's what we call rolling with the punches. Is it Bisping bestiality 101? Okay, so don't talk to me about improvisation. Because I got this, bitch.
Law 5, so much depends on your reputation. Guard it with your life.
Ooh, you do want to guard that reputation with your life. But there was one chapter before I was reading, and this was actually a great story. In 1825 or something, some Russian czar, he came to the throne. I put this on my Instagram story yesterday. I was reading it in the sun. It was beautiful. And this Russian czar came to the throne, came to power, and there was a rebellion uprised, and he squashed the rebellion. And one of the leaders of the rebellion, I forget his name, they were going to hang him, right? So they got him. They put a noose around his neck, and they were going to hang him. And when they hung, the rope snapped, okay? And then he stood up, and he goes, "Up, see, in Russia, they can't even make rope properly." Now, in those days, if somebody survived, you know, if that happened, if they survived being executed like that, they thought it was divine, it was heavenly, you know, God wanted it, this and that, so they were pardoned. So the czar, the Russian czar, the emperor, the king, whatever, the czar was writing out his pardon papers, and he leans over to the messenger and said, "Oh, did he say anything prior when this first happened?" And he goes, "Yeah, he actually said, you know, see, in Russia, they can't even make rope properly." And he goes, "Oh, really? Okay, well, I'll tell you what, fuck him, murder him, and we'll show him once and for all that we can make rope." Anyway, moral of the story, just be careful with your sarcasm, because that little moment of glory and satisfaction that you get can chase you, and even in some scenarios, lead to a vicious death.
That is law number 4, always say less than necessary, that's which I agree. I mean, that's the other idea, they got into it about how when you, and this is something that I need to do more, because I yap so much. Even when the sound of silence, when I'm having a conversation with somebody, I'm like, oh no, I got to fill it. Right. And I just start saying shit. You start spouting shit out. And the reality is, people that are powerful, they say less than necessary. You're wondering what they're thinking. They're not spilling it all out. You don't know what the fuck's going on in their daily life, what their successes are, what their failures are. You're like, this guy has an air of like, he has some shit going on, and what's going on in his head. And I think you want to let people wonder what's going on in your mind. So I completely agree with that one. It's something that I need to practice myself.
Oh, definitely, because I put it, that story was really good and I liked it, and definitely something that I need to practice, and I put that on Instagram. But you're right, what you were just saying there, when you meet somebody and when it goes quiet and silent, I used to start getting very uncomfortable. I remember when I first met Rebecca and I went up to her house and I met her mom and dad. My contact lens are driving me crazy. I think this one's on its way out. Anyway, so I'd go up there and I'd sit and Rebecca would go upstairs, do something, and she'd disappear with her mom, and she'd leave me and her dad, Graham, just sitting in the front room alone, right?
Yeah.
And there'd be no TV on, there'd be no music, and he'd sit there in the leather chair just going, like strumming his fingers, looking into the air, which is totally normal behavior. But me, in my mind, at like 20 years old, I'm sitting there thinking, shit, think of something to say, okay? And I'm not into sport. I don't watch football, soccer, right? I didn't watch football, so, and I didn't even have my driving license at the time, but I'd come out with something stupid like, so, see the game last night? And he'd be like, no, I didn't. And I'd be like, yeah, neither did I. So I'd just come out with stupid fucking things, you know what I mean? So I don't know why, a human nature, you feel the need to do that. It's bizarre.
Well, it's just because you're alone with your own thoughts and you're feeling insecure. So you feel like, oh, that person sitting across from me must also be feeling the exact same way. And you're like, oh, shit, I don't want to make them feel that way. And it all comes from just our own little insecurities. And you really liked Rebecca. Yeah. If this was just some fucking old guy at a bar, it wouldn't have mattered. But you were worried that this guy was going to be judgmental. You really liked this girl. You don't want to make an asshole of yourself in front of her father. I think that's probably what was going on there, because I don't think you probably ever had a trouble coming up with conversation with a dude in your life really much before that.
Yeah, not really. You're probably right. But what I should have done is this, just fight fire with fire. So, okay, I'm just going to sit here. Here's what you do from now on. Anyone's being aloof and they're staring into the abyss and just ignoring you, just do it back. Just do it. Just stare. Just sit there. And then, but see, I can't even do it. I'd start feeling like a weirdo. Let's remember, this was before phones. Now, if there's ever any awkward silences or whatever, the phones are great, aren't they? You just get your phone out and you start looking at your phone and you're totally fine because your brain is actually doing something. You're stimulating yourself. But yeah, there you go. A little segment of 48 Laws of Power, Lewis. Yeah, la-di-da. You are fucking smart, man. You're so smart.
It's not about being smart. I do think it's a good book. I think people should read it. I think it's...
I agree.
It's also, yeah, it's... Yeah, I've been reading a bunch of books. I read the Steve Jobs biography, and I have the audio version now, and I'm going through it for the second time. That one really inspires me. I love it.
You're just doubling up because the thing is, like, you're reading Steve Jobs, and now you're gonna listen to Steve Jobs. You let the greatness seep in because you yourself, you're a media mogul, an entrepreneur. You run a business. There's a lot of similarities between you and Steve Jobs. You know, so you're trying to. You're trying to forge your own path. You're not trying to create or follow what Steve Jobs did. No. Heaven forbid. You're your own man, the Puerto Rican rattlesnake. There is only one. But as Steve Jobs is forging his way, navigating through the tumultuous business world that he had, you can see yourself and draw parallels and be like, yes, that's me, Steve. Now, me personally, I would have done it a little differently, but we would have got to the same place in the end. Billions of dollars in the bank.
Wow. You know, you said it. I didn't. I don't have to. You recognize greatness when you recognize greatness, Michael Bisping.
Reels recognize real or reels, whatever it is.
I will say real quick before we switch gears, because you mentioned before about me getting that I look sunburned. I got crazies. I don't know if it was sunburned. I got sunburned. Okay. And my head and my face and my shoulders, very hot. And, you know, you get that like tingle and that itchiness. But I must have eaten something as well, because my second to last night, whatever it was, it reacted with my body. My entire shoulders and face and head felt like there were fire ants all over them, just biting me. Just, dude, I'm talking about for like 6 hours. I couldn't go to sleep. It was psychotic. The inside of my mouth was, so I think it was an allergic reaction. The inside of my mouth was itchy. The bottom of my feet were itchy. And this, you know, that's not exposed to sun, but wherever I was sunburned was like, dude, I mean, I can't explain to you the pain that I was in. And I was trying to like downplay it for my son, because he's getting, you know, he's like, Dad, are you okay? And I'm like, oh no, it's great. I love it. But, you know, I'm sure we have doctors that are going to listen to this that are going to tell me exactly what happened there. But that was one of the most painful experiences of my life. Have you ever had any sun? Because you're fucking pale as shit, dude. So I'm assuming if you go out in the sun for more than an hour, you're in trouble.
I went out in the sun for a little bit yesterday. I'm starting to get colored already. It's been winter, Lewis. Okay. I am going to shed my winter jacket. Okay. Mm. I'm going to shed it all over the place. And then I'm going to be a bronzed Adonis before you know it. Sounds to me there like you had some kind of allergic reaction, as you said, potentially some kind of medication. Often if you take some medication, did you take any pills, Jamaican pills that you weren't familiar with that you'd never taken before?
No, nothing. I put aloe on, but I don't think I'd have an allergic reaction to aloe. I think she made oxtail. It was a lot of spices. Maybe there was some food that I was introduced to that my body wasn't used to. It was fucking nuts, though. It was like, I don't remember ever being in much more pain than that.
Oh, that's terrible, especially when you're on vacation. So sorry to hear that, Lewis. But isn't it nice, even other than your skin feeling like you're alive and ants are eating you? It's nice to be in the sun, isn't it? This morning, I finished at the gym. I walked the dogs when we spoke on the phone. And I was just like, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. And I don't mean to rub this into everybody. You know, like some of my friends back in England, I saw a Facebook post this morning from one of my buddies. He's like, to all roofers, contractors, built, you know, anyone that works outdoors, the weather's going to turn soon, because apparently it's just been raining and raining and raining for weeks on end. There's flood warnings, all types of stuff. And I'm here in California. It's fucking beautiful. I tell you what, you take it for granted. But I tell you, anyone out there, oh, man. It just sucks when it's rainy and cold and wet. It does. It sucks, man. It's bad.
It's 33. I got off the plane. It's been 85 and sunny every day in Jamaica. You know, nice little rain. Every night it rains, right? Every morning it's raining when you get up. You have some coffee and this warm, you know, it's beautiful, beautiful rain. And then it just the sun comes out at 9 a.m. just like clockwork. Boom, the sky opens up. Beautiful sunshine. Then I get off the plane in New York, 30 degrees. I'm in fucking Queens. Everyone's just got like a grimace on their face. Everyone's miserable. No one's happy to be getting off the plane. Like when you land in Jamaica, people start applauding. And I'll start the applause. If nobody applauds, whoa.
You're the type of guy that when the plane touches down on the runway, you applaud.
Yes. In Jamaica? Yes. Yeah, man. I'm sorry.
Right about now.
I think
that this is the end of the podcast, man. I cannot do this no more. I cannot keep up the charade, you know.
You need to stop this accent. This is your worst impression.
What the fuck? That's how Jamaicans talk. You know, I can't keep it that charade, man, you know. Batty boy.
It sounds like an Indian guy that works at a deli.
Hello, welcome to Quickie Mart. What would you like from the deli? That is how they talk now. I'm not saying right about now.
This is going to be what cancels Bisping, by the way. This is going to be...
What? Doing an Indian, there's nothing racist about doing an Indian accent.
That's true.
Nothing. Right, so you do an English accent, which you often do. Oh, probably hell. Crikey, Gavner. That's not racist.
No, not since I came back from Jamaica. I looked into the Jamaican skies and I really thought about it. And I was like, you know what? That's not okay. That's not okay to just completely disparage an entire culture, to generalize what an entire culture sounds like. That's ridiculous, Michael Bisping. That's not how English person sounds, and I feel bad. You know what? I'll say right now, I apologize to all of our English fans for all of my immature jokes that I made in the past.
Lewis, you're right. You would never, ever dream of doing a Jamaican accent, let alone going to Twitter and saying that a Jamaican man has kidnapped your fucking son. I mean, which is more racist? Insinuating that Jamaica is such a lawless land that you couldn't even take your eyes off your son for a second without William, who I happen to know is a very good Bible law-abiding human being, works very hard for the measly pittance that he earns, and you're gonna smear his reputation on Twitter like that whilst talking to a wealthy corporation like Chase Bank. Did you know that William has a fucking interview there next week, and they're gonna look through, they're gonna say, all right, about now, you're the William that stole the kid, huh?
You should have heard how racist I sounded on the phone with Chase. Holy shit. Like, they're savages. They're coming after us. Please help. Please.
Oh, dear. Crazy. All right. We were talking about treading fine lines on the last episode. I feel like that same line is being treaded right now. So
no, we're not treading. That line is fucking behind us. That line is about a mile behind us, baby boy.
Oh, shit. So I was in the gym and Harrington was sending notes, and he sent through notes about some rapper that got shot dead. And funnily enough, I responded with, what, you mean Pop Smoke? As if like I'm totally with it and stuff. And I was actually embarrassed that I said that because I've never heard of Pop Smoke in my life. But I did see it on the news. So I was following the news. Apparently some rapper had a party at his house or something over the weekend. If I'm getting these minor details wrong, my apologies. And some masked men burst through the door, as I say, with masks on, and shot him dead. Now, the plot thickens. We're not here to talk about rappers' deaths generally. You know, of course it's sad, and my absolute sincere condolences and all that type of stuff to him and his family, his loved ones, and anybody involved. Absolutely tragic. But the reason I bring this up is because, Harrington, you told me, if you're around, that the plot thickens, and it was due to him accidentally exposing his address on Instagram. So therefore, they saw the Instagram, they saw that he had some luxury items with him, and these fucking pieces of shit.
Oh, they robbed him. It wasn't even like a beef. This was a robbery.
Yeah, this wasn't like a rap beef or a gang beef or anything like that. They just saw him with some luxury items in his car or on his person, saw the address on one of his suitcases, and thought, let's go rob him. And came round to the house with masks and guns, shot him dead and fucking robbed him. Harrington, are you there? Can you explain more?
So I did put this in the notes. The interesting thing to me, they said they had surveillance. They saw the men leaving, but they didn't have bags on them. So this might have just been a straight up execution.
Execution, yeah. So who knows? Or maybe they freaked out when it went wrong.
Hold on. Hold on. Harrington, don't feed me this information when I'm at the gym, and then when I bring it up, totally undermine me. Just because you're doing further work, you know what I mean? Explain the scenario. Explain that what you told me. Explain it to the listeners, please. Don't say, oh, yeah.
Harrington, make the man look right. What the fuck is wrong with you? It's Believe You Me podcast with Michael Bisping, not Harrington fucking comes in and corrects everyone when we're wrong.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm looking through the notes that I sent out here, but
no, no, Harrington can't do anything right. It's just we're so mean for no reason.
It's just no.
He sent you the notes, you just didn't read it, and we just trashed him to his face and somehow make it his fault.
I did read it. I did read it. That's how I know this. But I'm asking Harrington, as the founder, the curator of this story, to give the extra info that he has. I read the story. I read the link that he sent. But I don't have the ability right now to have what I see with my eyes and make it appear on your screen that the viewers are going to see. Harrington can do that. He can do that right now. In fact, Harrington, do it.
I don't know exactly what you want me to do. I'll read exactly what I sent you. I said,
Harrington, take your fucking shirt off and dance while you keep while you're talking.
I don't even have a camera.
I want to see you fucking do the truffle shuffle right now.
It's just for you.
You better be in shape, Harrington. All right, Harrington, just explain the situation. Because then, Lewis, we went on and we had a long,
truffle shuffle.
Do the truffle shuffle. Let's go. Shirt up. Let's go. I want to see this. Brian, I want to see it. I want to see it.
No one wants to.
Truffle shuffle, baby.
While you tell us about Pop Smoke. The truffle shuffle. You know the truffle shuffle.
So I said, yeah, he accidentally gave out his address when a fashion company sent him a whole bunch of shit and he posted it on Instagram. 3 days later, he got shot and killed, but Fox News says the gunman left the house empty, and so it may have not been a robbery, just an execution.
That was Fox News, though. Fox News,
You're a great sport, but that was not the truffle shuffle. Lewis, show the man how to do a truffle shuffle, for fuck's sake.
Right? That's it? I can't really do it. I'm not jiggly enough.
You roll your stomach. I'm doing it right now.
Pull up a video of the truffle shuffle, because I think this is from Goonies. You don't roll your stomach.
You don't make your stomach roll like that. You know what I mean?
The truffle shuffle is when Chunk in the Goonies does a little fat. Yeah. He was almost doing it. Paul, do you have video of the truffle shuffle?
It might get us pulled off YouTube. That's okay. And that's immediately before that part of the Goonies. He does the truffle shuffle, then they allow him access. And then that whole chain of events, you know, the ball rolls down there, hits the chicken pecks, fucking releases something, the wheelbarrow goes down. You know what I'm talking about? All to open the fucking door. How about someone just walks down the stairs and opens the fucking door? Be a lot easier. But when I was a kid and I first saw that, I loved it.
Are you describing Overboard? There it is.
No.
Actually, Harrington sort of looks like adult Chunk.
He does. He does. Oh, God. Anyway, so Harrington, I was too busy looking at you and staring at you as you did the truffle shuffle. And I'm pretty sure everyone else was as well, other than the audio listeners. Explain what happened. Don't fucking make me look stupid. And just tell the audience what the story's about.
Before he does that, can I also say a lot of people came to the YouTube channel just to watch Harrington do the truffle shuffle. So please just click the subscribe button right now. You're here. Just take a moment. Subscribe. Leave us a little comment. Let us know you were here for the truffle shuffle. Let us know this is the first time you're for the truffle shuffle. We will be looking for those comments. And thank you.
100,000 YouTube followers. Here we go, baby. We finally did it. All we needed was Harrington truffle shuffling. Harrington, come on. What we got? Tell us about the story, man.
So what I thought was very interesting, he blew up. Don't put the camera on me. I didn't have a chance to put my shirt back on yet.
Oh, my God. That's so great.
So what happened was this guy got big in the Canarsie projects in Brooklyn, and he made the decision, I'm going to leave Brooklyn because it's a bad environment for me. There's too much problems here. Like, this is where I grew up. I know too many people here. Went to L.A. to get away from it, and there's speculation that some of that from, you know, early in his life.
You know what I don't like?
Out west.
Before Harrington started speaking, keep the camera on him for a second.
I'm getting snaps on my phone. This is going on Instagram for sure. What's up, baby boys?
If you guys were watching this, you could actually see Harrington's nipple get hard, and it's making me nauseous. Like, you could actually watch it go from soft to hard, and it's making me sick inside.
It may be making you sick inside, but I'll say this, Harry. I reckon if Lewis had the balls to take his shirt off and you both stood side by side right now, I'm beginning to see abs. I see the rib cage. Okay. I think Harrington may have you in a shirt off competition. Not that we objectify our hosts and our employees and our producers. We don't do that. But I'm just saying you're ridiculing him side by side, top off, mano a mano. I reckon Harrington takes you, baby.
Harry, stop trying to get me to fucking unveil the bod before the end of our competition. You see what Bisping does? He wants you guys to see the fact that I also came off my vacation and my progress is going. Look at that little tiny arm, dude. How could he even win a title? How could he win a title with that tiny arm? It's mind-boggling to me.
You're looking at it from the wrong angle.
You got Wei Li Zhang arms.
Oh, you are fucking wrong, baby. In front of the microphone. Check that out.
We really are the biggest douchebags in the world.
Major. Anyway, so this story, apparently, whatever, fucking Harrington, I asked him to explain the social media side of things. He starts talking about Brooklyn or something. I tuned out. I was looking at the jiggling. He said, basically, they saw an address on a suitcase or whatever, and they came around and they shot him. Regardless of whatever happened, that's what happened. They came around, they shot him, and because they found his address on Instagram, and I'm like, just goes to show, doesn't it? You never know, because there is a lot of scumbags out there. I mean, what kind of piece of shit sees an address and thinks, you know what, he's got some items there, some Harrington was talking about a platinum plaque or some expensive jewelry items, and you think, you know what, I'm going to take that and just go around there, shoot him fucking dead, and take that for myself.
I mean, yeah, it sucks. I mean, look, this is just a low piece of shit, you know, class of person that would do that, whether it's somebody who had a beef or whatever.
To take another person's life because you want those material objects, which at the end of the day don't even matter. It's like I watch a lot of Forensic Files. Damn Pop Smoke, you can't live your life on the internet. This is his IG story before being murdered. Dude put his dress out there, shaved my head, RIP, and there you can see it, the address. I watch a lot of Forensic Files, and on there you'll see it, women murdering their husbands over time, putting a little bit of poison in there, men doing the same thing to women, just for like a measly $25,000 life insurance. I mean, come on, man. What the fuck?
$25,000 in Jamaica will fucking, it was a long way, baby boy.
How much would it take for you? Like, if you think you can get away with it, the perfect murder, right? The perfect murder, you got it all planned out. How big would the life insurance policy have to be for you to be tempted? I'm not saying to do it, but for you to think about it. And hold on, who are we murdering now?
Okay, well, not first of all,
that's
is this
too easy?
All right, so let's set up a little fantasy. Rebecca Bisping comes to me. She said, "Listen to me, me and Michael, it's over. It's been way too long. I want to be with you. The connection we have on the podcast is very real." We have to murder him. How would I do that? First of all, how much would I get?
She'd be like, listen, you've seen the incredibly small biceps that this man has, okay? he couldn't fight his way out of a wet paper bag. He's got one leg. The other leg needs replacing. And let's not get started on the one eye. And you know that famous head of hair that he has? Yeah, he's receding, okay?
But like, don't worry, Rebecca. I'm like, don't worry, Rebecca. We poisoned him, and I hid the antidote under his bicep curl bar, so he'll never find it. Impossible.
Yeah. No. He may find the antidote on the bicep curl bar 3 to 4 times a week because shoulders and bicep. That's a special day for him that he likes to replicate a lot. So go on, Lewis. How would you kill me? And what kind of prize would you need? Because I say to Rebecca, we watch a lot of Forensic Files nearly every night, right? And the problem with Forensic Files, and if you don't watch it, give it a shot. It's great. It teaches you how to basically get away with murder. And I joke with Rebecca. I say, I could get away with murdering you. I reckon I could murder you and get away. Fucking right I could. Come on.
The problem is, actually, watching shows like Forensic Files makes me feel like I couldn't get away with murder. I feel like you watch that and you're like, oh shit, that's an angle. Like they can go for that. Like you have no idea that and all the technology is constantly changing. And that's the stuff we know about. If you're going to murder somebody, you need to murder, a homeless runaway that you've never met, no connection to. It's got to be completely random.
No, yeah, it's this. It's simple. You got to be no You got to keep it simple as well. It's the KISS, keep it simple, stupid method that I, it's how I train people to murder people. Okay. You know,
welcome to the Louis J. Gomez, Michael Bisping school of how to murder somebody. I like this. It's a good segment, by the way.
It's a great segment. Listen, the first person that's going to be, you know, investigated is the loved one. If the wife dies, the husband is going to be investigated and vice versa. Okay. Like Rebecca asked me, I said, well, I could push you down the stairs. But I thought about this on my walk. If I pushed her down the stairs, she might survive. And then I'd have to drag her back upstairs and like smash the back of her neck on the corner of one of the steps.
And they're going to know. Right? They're going to know. They're going to know the angle. They're like,
they're gonna know. And not just that. The whole time Rebecca's gonna be looking at me, going, "Jesus Christ, okay, I'll make you a coffee." I don't know if I could go through with that. You know what I mean?
It's begging
for its life at this point. At this point, you're like, "Can I go through with this?" And in the house, the steps, the forensics, there's too much margin for error. They check everything. Here's what you do. You fly off to a beautiful location. I don't know. Let's say Costa Rica, and you're walking on the top of a very, very high cliff. You go to get the view and just, just push her over the edge. Dead. Yeah. Fatal accident. No one around. No witnesses. No fucking forensics. She's dead. She's mangled to bits at the bottom of the cliff.
The problem even is with that is, what if she doesn't die? She falls off the cliff. Now she's looking at you. Because I actually have an acquaintance who this happened to.
And I throw it over the edge as well.
That just hits her in the shoulder. Oh, Michael, you just hit me in the shoulder.
Yeah, it's like Monty Python in the Flying Circus. You know, it's just a flesh wound. Have you seen that one where he chops it off? Just a flesh wound. I'm like, for fuck's sake, die. Grab another one, smash you in the legs. Just like, I'm okay. Would you like a sandwich? I'm out for fuck's sake. He
Michael,
won't die.
Michael, maybe we can work this out. Crash her hand.
Yeah, sure. I'm like, fuck me. What else can I throw? Give me something. Oh, God. This is a messed up episode.
I love it. Dude, I know somebody who that happened to. He was with his girlfriend hiking, and he was taking a picture of her. And as she was backing up, she fell off the cliff in front of him. Dear. I mean, how awful is that? You have like a picture of like the before and after. She's a picture of she died. Not only that, she died. She fell, and she didn't die right away. She was hiking deep in the woods, and she literally had to fucking like be there for like 4 hours and slowly die in front of him.
Oh God, that's bad. In Clitheroe, there's an old quarry called the Cross Hills. And it's a big, you know, it's a decent-sized cliff. It's not gigantic, but it's enough that if you jumped off it, you'd probably die. And as the story goes, in Clitheroe, it's a small town. These two kids, I think they were about 16, 17, maybe something like that. And I'm not sure what they'd done. I didn't catch that part of the story, but you see the guy now. So they decided to kill themselves. They said, right, we're going to jump off the Cross Hills quarry. We're going to jump off there. So they both went to the edge of the cliff, and one jumped off and the other one was going to jump off afterwards. But he saw him jump off and said, fuck that, no way. So he never jumped off, and the other guy survived. But you see him now walking around Clitheroe fucking like this.
trying to catch up with his friend.
And his buddy never fucking jumped. Do you know what I mean? So at the moment you'd feel bad enough as it is. But then you're going to, you know, years later, you're in a pub and he walks in. He's like, you fucking prick, fucking dickhead. Do you know what I mean? Guys, if you're out there and you're thinking about jumping off a cliff, just don't do it, because A, you might survive, and B, I guarantee tomorrow that problem will be gone, or it'll feel better. It won't seem as bad as what it is.
Well, or it'll be way worse, because maybe you had that problem and now you also limp.
Yeah, well, see, that's it. You know what I mean? That kid's walking around like my mom. God bless her. My mom doesn't walk too well, and that it's a kid. It's a young man. Yeah. So anyway, guys, let's just take a quick second to talk about BetDSI. If you listen to the podcast, you know who we're talking about. BetDSI are one of the top rated businesses on review sites. If you're looking for somewhere to have a little flutter on an upcoming sporting event, BetDSI is the place. They've been in business for over 20 years. They've got an easy to use and fast playing interface. You can bet games as they go. You get live in-game wagering options throughout tournaments, making playing throughout entire games very, very easy. And great customer service, available 24/7, 365, which is very important. And BetDSI has built a reputation on the fast payment of winnings, Lewis.
I mean, maybe my favorite part is the fact that they have unbelievable customer service. I mean, because look, I'm a sad man, okay? Christmas morning, Thanksgiving Day, I might be throwing it all on the line, depending on what's going on. So if I need to contact somebody on Christmas morning as I'm alone, spending the little bit of money that I have gambling, guess what? BetDSI is a place to do it. And we all know this, if you guys ever gamble on anything, if you just, you know, bet on anything tonight, bet on the next commercial that's going to come on being for a food or for a product or whatever, and put $10 on the line, you will pray for the commercials to come on and interrupt your favorite program. Gambling is fun. It makes every sport that much more fun. BetDSI.com is a great website, and we have a great promotion, Michael Bisping.
That is absolutely right. If you go to BetDSI.com and use the promo code BYM120, up to $1,000, they're going to give you a 60% bonus cash match, which theoretically would turn $1,000 into $1,600, so on and so forth. I won't dazzle you with my brilliance. So, once again, go to BetDSI.com. Use the promo code BYM120. You can even use that bonus cash match to throw a few dollars on Dan Hooker, maybe Paul Felder. There's a big UFC fight happening this weekend down under in New Zealand. But if you want to make a flutter, go to BetDSI.com. And remember, BYM120, that's the code that you need. All right, where were we? Now, we've spoke about killing my wife, spoke about making love to lizards. What else have we done? We've definitely, it's been a random one for sure.
Yeah, I like it. Make it a little, mix it up a
I
little
love
bit.
It. I like, I like, talk about.
Well, there's some other things. Look, there's a big boxing match happening this weekend. We have a UFC fight happening this weekend. So yeah, I mean, I'm not a big boxing guy, but this is a huge fight, dude. Wilder versus Fury too. So we can get into that a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to talk about. This is a massive fight. I know you're not a big boxing guy, but this is a boxing fight of the kind of magnitude that I feel that is going to cross over, and it's going to do big numbers, and it's going to cross over into the mainstream, because Tyson Fury, love him or hate him, and most people love him, and I do. I'm a big fan. Never used to like the guy. He talked a bit of shit, but that was a long time ago. It was on Twitter. Probably just a bit of bullshit. He's probably having a laugh, whatever. But I messaged him recently on Instagram. Great fucking guy. A hell of a story. You know, he went into depression. He became like 350 pounds, came back, became world champion. Obviously, he took the belt from Vladimir Klitschko. He sings on the microphone after his fights. He's a good talker. He's very, very funny. He's full of confidence. He's got an everyman quality that resonates with a lot of people. You know, and he's a fucking hell of a boxer as well, an incredible boxer. Taking on Deontay Wilder, the first fight, if people don't know, was a draw. Tyson pretty much controlled the entire fight, outboxed him, but Deontay Wilder, even though at that weight class, which is a heavyweight fight, he weighed 208 pounds. 208 pounds or 203, I might be wrong. One of the two. But either way, I think Tyson came in, you know, 260, 265, something like that. He came in, he could have fought as a light heavyweight, dropped him twice, and they made the fight a draw. So it's, and Deontay is still the champion. He's the champion of two organizations. So it's a big, big fight happening in Las Vegas this weekend. But they've been entertaining people all week, and they're giving us some good stuff at the press conferences. We got any of that footage that we can play, Harrington or Brian? You don't believe in David and Goliath. Turn it up a bit if you can.
When I was training like a boxer, you couldn't keep me down then. You definitely can't keep me down now. I'm gonna show you that. And stop pushing forward.
Guys, please take a seat. Let's start the news conference.
Ooh. All right, I like it. It's so funny. Like, what are these security guards? Pause it for a second. What are these security guards going to do if they decided that they just want to start fucking knocking everybody out? They could just take all of them at once.
But this is the thing, because somebody mentioned this on Twitter. I forget who it was, but they're there. You would never see this in the UFC. You've got two world champions or two, you know, a champion and a contender. I'm not sure if Tyson's a lineal champion. Anyway, you got two world championship boxers. Boxers are known to be highly volatile human beings. We've seen time and time again, boxers, as well as MMA guys as well, I'm not just saying boxers, but professional fighters, get into a fight on stage many fucking times, especially when you've got guys like that. They're on there. There's no security inside, and there's not even a promoter like a Dana White to stand between them and say, guys, leave off. They just allowed them. You know, which, by the way, I loved it. I'm not complaining, but, like, they definitely...
It could have gotten...
Risky.
Yeah, it could have gotten crazy, and we've seen it happen before. Here's what the UFC has, is they have protocol for all of their press conferences. The way they do it, the beats, when they come out, there's like it's always sort of the same. So I think when you're dealing with these boxing organizations where it's like it's different, like one, you know, one fight is presented by this promoter, the next one's this promoter, there's not real protocol, I think, for these events. So sometimes, I guess, sometimes you do see it with security all around them, and there's a million people between them. Sometimes you see it like that. So I don't think there's any rhyme or reason, but it's also why the UFC has built an incredible brand. You don't realize how important that is to sort of under like to from a viewing standpoint to be able to watch that and sort of know what's going on visually, just sort of in that moment. So I think it's kind of an interesting thing. Have we ever seen any like crazy, like I mean obviously in the UFC we've seen people coming to blows, but has it ever like gotten crazy enough to where like somebody got hurt in like in one of those press conferences? Have you ever heard anything like that?
I don't know if they got hurt. Maybe Brian or Harrington could just Google that quickly. But there's been plenty of messy ones over the years. I remember, I think we talked about this recently, Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson. They, you know, they got into it at the press conference, and then Mike Tyson was biting the ankles of Lennox Lewis and things like that. Prior to that, he was saying how he was gonna rape someone's baby. I think if I'm not mistaken.
Which look, I'm not condoning baby rape, but I will say if you're gonna talk shit, go hard or go home. Mike Tyson set the bar really high.
Oh, listen, you're going to sit there. And you won't talk about baby rape, but you'll fucking discuss the rape of Shady, my bearded dragon.
It's not rape.
What, like, consensual sex?
Yeah, Shady can't say no. Shady has no vocal cords.
Rape the fuck out of that dragon.
No, you're going to make love to Shady, and Shady's going to love it.
Yeah, he's going to like it. This is happening and you are going to like it. No. Oh, dear. Anyway, by the way, I've said I'm not going to apologize this episode. You'll have noticed I haven't apologized once. You know, sometimes I make a joke. Oh, yeah, sorry, just having a laugh. Saw a lot of comments coming out the other day. I must have been doing a lot of apologizing. I didn't notice it, but you'll notice so far, I haven't said sorry once. Not once, and I won't, Lewis.
To be honest with you, you did threaten to rape your son's bearded dragon, so maybe an apology would be in order. This was maybe the only time you should apologize.
Listen, I've set a stance out, and by Christ, I speak to my principles. I don't care what I say today. I don't care where this is going, but there's going to be no apologies from me. I don't care. Oh, God. Anyway, back to the fight. Tyson, I'm excited for this one. I am genuinely thoroughly excited. I'm home this weekend. Next weekend, I'm away. Weekend after that, I'm away. So I value my weekends. Now, you know, the UFC travel kicks up again. I value my weekends at home and I want to do something special. And I'm like, I said to Rebecca, I said, oh, shall we drive up to San Francisco and see Callum? And she said, oh, yeah, let's do that. I said, okay, one condition. We got to go somewhere Saturday night to watch the boxing fight. And she's like, no way, we're not doing that. I said, well, we're not going then. I want to watch this fight. I've been waiting a long time for this rematch. The first fight was genius. Tyson Fury impressed me so much. He looked fantastic. Then Deontay Wilder dropped him twice, nearly put him to sleep for life. It looked like he killed the guy. But then he somehow miraculously gets back to his feet. And all Tyson had to do, and I'm sure I've spoken about this before, but all Tyson had to do was just back off. You know what I mean? Because he must have been way ahead on the scorecards, but he didn't. He pressed the action. He was the one getting in the face of Deontay Wilder. And I thought, man, this guy has got balls of steel. And you have to respect what he's doing right now. And I think he might have got dropped again, but he got up and he carried on pushing the pace, getting in his face, taunting Deontay Wilder. And it went to a draw. I still feel like probably Tyson should have won that first one.
Ooh.
Ooh, but there it is. It was a big left hook that puts him down. It's just a tremendous fight. Go on.
Yeah, it was interesting because what he was saying when he was talking shit, he was like, you couldn't keep me down when I was training like a dolphin, which is hilarious. He was training like a dolphin.
Like a dosser. He was training like, I was training like a dosser and you couldn't even keep me down then. Now I've been training like a madman. What are you going to do now?
I don't know what a dosser is. And I was actually going to ask you, what does it mean to be training like a dolphin? But what does it mean to be training like a dosser? Did you know the dolphins they make the sound out of their blowhole, not out of their mouth? Learned that as I swam with dolphins in Jamaica.
Oh God, look at you. It's a tough life for the Gomez. A dosser's like, you know, it's a dosser is like a loser, you know what I mean? Yeah, there you go, it's a good comparison. A loser.
I wish you said dolphin.
Adossa is a city person who does not have a permanent home and sleeps in the streets or in very cheap hotels.
We call him a Harrington.
Hold on. Very cheap hotels. La-di-da. Can't be that bad. He's checking into different hotels. Yeah, so anyway, listen, this is going to be a great fight. I'm very, very excited for it. I was going to see my son, but I'm not because I want to see this. What do we say? You got any predictions for us, Lewis? Here's the thing. I'll just break this fight down. Deontay Wilder hits incredibly hard. That's his big thing, right? When he fights, listen, of course, he's technical. He's trained. He's devoted his entire life to becoming the best boxer that he can be. But, you know, he relies on that power. And often he's had fights that he's down on the scorecards that, but boom, he lands the shot he needs and he wins the fight. Tyson Fury, on the flip side, he's a tremendous boxer. He's very tall. He's got a tremendous reach, and he knows how to use it. He utilizes a lot of feints, a lot of misdirection. He's constantly trying to draw his attacks out of his opponents. He steps away, dances around the ring. He uses a lot of footwork, a lot of feints. He's a very, very good technical boxer. So after watching that first fight, I thought the rematch is going to favor Deontay Wilder because Tyson boxed his fucking head off, right? And looked very technical, and Deontay was still able to connect twice. If Deontay added a few extra wrinkles to his game and worked on putting a few more punches together, he could have caught Tyson earlier. But that said, I still feel like Tyson Fury is going to win this fight because the point that he did make does stand. You know, he did balloon up to some incredible size. I forget the exact weight, but he looked shocking. He looked really bad. He was doing a lot of drugs. Right, he was drinking a lot of alcohol. He let himself go completely. He went through a bout of depression and things like that. He had some mental health struggles. And then he came back and forth. I think he had a warm-up fight or two before Deontay. But still, it was a great fight. But now, I think he's had two more fights since then. Looked outstanding in both of them. I got Tyson Fury winning this.
Yeah, it looks like the odds are pretty even. I mean, I don't know enough about boxing to give you any sort of real prediction. But look, what I know about fighting is...
Look at that. We got Harrington on the left.
He was 276 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, he from what I know about the way fighters speak and the way the fighters sort of act, and you know, for the reality is if he's really training now and he's really putting in the work and it was that close of a fight and he was up on scorecards, there's no reason to believe that he couldn't win this fight. Yeah, I don't want to give a prediction because I just don't know enough about boxing and it would be sort of pulling it out of my ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll be fun. I'll go watch the fights. I'll see what these guys are doing. I'm going to be in, where am I at? Arlington, Virginia this weekend at the Draft House with Kurt Metzger. So if you guys are in that area, come out and we'll go watch the fucking fight Saturday night.
I'm in Norfolk, Virginia next week. Just think. If just by a week our paths could have naturally crossed,
yeah,
it's a real shame. Really, but for the MMA fans, we do have another UFC fight this weekend on the road, Auckland, New Zealand, where I did go when I was 16 years old, got robbed in Bali. Told that story many times. Paul Felder taking on Dan Hooker. You know, Paul Felder was working as a commentator, doing the commentary, and you know, like the commentator does, goes into the ring. Challenges the fighter, to interview the fighter, should I say. And Dan Hooker says, listen, I want a ranked opponent. And it just turns out someone's standing there. Most people, if you follow the UFC, you've seen the clip. He calls out the commentator, which was great. It was awesome. It was a fantastic moment. And they are fighting. Dan Hooker, very, very tall for the division. Knockout artist, lots of knockout power. Paul Felder fought the best of the best out there. Been going on for a long time. Never been finished, I think I'm correct in saying. Lost a couple of fights, but all decisions or one TKO due to a doctor's stoppage, I believe. Never been finished, as tough as they come. And a tremendous fight because both guys are kickboxers, Thai boxers, whatever you want to call them, however you want to describe it. But they're both strikers that like to stay on the feet. Neither man's a knockout guy. Sorry, a takedown guy. What am I saying? Neither guy's a wrestler. So this is going to be a tremendous main event. What do you think of that one, Lewis? You got any input, advice? Just anything to say to bring to the table, seeing as you are the co-host.
Yeah, you know what? I got to be honest with you. No, I don't. No, look, I like Hooker in this fight, dude. He beat L.I. Quint in his last fight. He's from New Zealand. Where's Paul Felder from? He's from England?
No, what are you talking about? He's from Philadelphia.
Am I retarded? Who am I thinking of? Oh no, it's
City of Steel.
His name is the Irish Dragon. That's what I'm thinking. I'm looking at his nickname. Yeah, honestly,
I had I shouldn't say this. I had an altercation with Paul Felder one night because I was busting his balls about Irish Dragon. I won't go into it too hard. I won't go into it. I won't tell the story. No, it's okay. But like one night we were in London, it was last year, and his name was the Irish Dragon. It might have been 4 or 5 in the morning. There was a lot of alcohol ingested. His name's the Irish Dragon. And I started busting his balls. And like some people could take it, some people can't take it. Maybe I overstepped the mark. And if I didn't,
what did you say?
Well, no, I was like, Irish Dragon, fuck off, Irish Dragon. I said, all right, all right. I said, does anybody in your family speak with an Irish accent? And I think he thought I was trying to discredit his Irishness or just mock his, which I wasn't. It was just me. I was being a prick. I was drunk. I'm like, my mum's Irish. She actually speaks with an Irish accent. I don't claim to be Irish. I was just busting his balls. I was being a dick. And then Paul got a little annoyed, and rightly so, but we're good now. I wish him the best.
If I was Paul, I would have been like, you're not a fucking count, okay? Suck my dick.
I am a count. Go fuck yourself. I am actually a count.
Are you?
Yes.
What does that mean? Hold on. A count is a historical title of nobility in certain European countries, varying in relative status. What's officially the definition of a count?
Well, my I don't know. I'm going to say my great, 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 great granddad, uncle, whatever you want to call him, however many greats. But one of my ancestors were for his. It's in my book. If you read it in the English version of Quitters Never Win,
Download the fucking audio book, and they would not allow me to in the States just yet, Mr. Bisping. When is that going to happen on Audible?
I don't know, but I will be having a very serious word when I finish on this podcast. But seriously. So here's what happened. If you want to. You know, I'll talk about it. Please. Long time ago, it's in my book, as I say. So there was a big battle going to happen. By the way, Bisping derived from Bishop Ping. Obviously, back in the day, a lot of wars were fought over religion. Right, so the bishop was a very powerful man in the church, and the bishop's pings were his like elite soldiers, if you will, and that evolved into Bisping all the time. Anyway, there was a battle going to take place, and on one side was like one army, and the other side of the mountain was another army. And my ancestor crawled up through the woods, through the vineyards, and stuff like that, and went down into enemy territory and counted the number of fires that there was, and based upon the number of fires, they figured out how many men were going to be there. He led an attack. It was successful, and for his bravery, the king at the time gave him the title of a count and a bunch of land. And my family, prior to the Second World War, were very, very wealthy. They were nobles in Poland, and there's a book about it called The History of the Bisping Family. Then the Second World War happened, and basically overnight, the borders changed, and my ancestors went to sleep. Well, there was my granddad. My granddad was one of them. My granddad and his family and these huge mansions, not like what I live in. I'm talking like fucking proper estates, like palaces.
Full mansions.
Dude, 1.5 mansions. Okay, here's what happened though. And the borders changed overnight, and they woke up in Russian occupied territory, and they were led up against the wall, shot dead. My granddad and a couple of others, they were the only ones to make it out alive, came to England. My granddad had my dad, obviously. My granddad would have business cards, Count Andre Bisping. And as luck would have it, World War II happened, and I grew up on a fucking council house in Clitheroe, not with a silver spoon in my mouth. So thank you, Germany, you motherfucking cocksuckers.
You hear that, Paul Felder? Suck Bisping's dick.
No, listen, Paul was right.
Everyone tweeted at Paul. Let him know to take that story and shove it up his fucking ass. Dan Hooker all the way this weekend, baby boy.
No. Anyway, back to Paul. Paul's a tough guy, man. Paul's a tough guy. He's not going to take no shit. So I respected him more for that because I was drunk. I was being an asshole. Sometimes you step out of line. I've done that many times, believe it or not. But it is a tremendous fight. It's a very, very tough fight for both guys. There's one fight that stands out. And of course, MMA math doesn't stack up. But the last time Dan Hooker got beat, just fact check this for me, please, Harrington, I think was Edson Barboza. And I remember that fight. TKO. Edson Barboza, TKO, and Edson Barboza lit him up. It was fantastic. And Paul Felder rematched Edson Barboza pretty recently. And I believe Paul Felder beat him. He stopped him, I think, right, with elbows?
Controversial split decision win.
Controversial split decision. Either way. Okay, as I say, MMA math doesn't stack up. But because of that, I am leaning towards Paul Felder. So we'll see. The problem is Dan Hooker's so tall. So tall. And Paul likes to do his best work on the inside. He comes in with a lot of elbows, likes to use knees. But against a tall guy like Dan Hooker, it's going to be hard to A, to get the tie clinch and use knees, B, to land elbows, stuff like that. Dan Hooker should be able to keep him out on the inside relatively easy if he uses the right game plan, if he uses his jab, uses his long range knees, things like that. But either way, this is two tremendous strikers in a 5-round fight. If you get chance, I'd check this one out, because honestly, it's going to be a tremendous fight. I can't wait.
They're not even competing, right? The MMA fight's going to be in the afternoon, and then the boxing matches at night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so, because of the time difference. Do we actually know what time the UFC is on? Because, I don't think they are competing, so fuck it. I had a day planned. I was going to go down to Catalina Island on the Catalina Flyer. The Catalina fucking wine mixer from Step Brothers. There's a lot of things to do there. Me, Lucas, and Rebecca, maybe Ellie, if she graces us with her presence. We're going to go to Catalina, then come back, get some takeaway, healthy takeaway, and watch the boxing. But if the UFC's in the afternoon, I'm sorry. We ain't going Catalina, baby.
Good news, guys. It's actually on Saturday. It's going to be Friday. So Friday at 10 p.m. is going to be the fight card for the East Coast. For Bisping, you'd be 7 p.m. your time.
Oh, wow. You hear that, Paul Felder? Suck my fucking dick.
Why? Why is Paul Felder going to suck your dick?
I like Lewis.
I don't know. I have no problem. I have a problem with Paul Felder for some reason now. Just as you come at Bisping like that, bro.
I never said anything. I said the opposite. I said I was disrespectful to him, and he said,
questioned
no,
your counthood.
He did. He did. And I've been telling people, you know what? Check this out. In 1988, when the book, The History of the Bisping Family, was written, my dad obviously went to something and came back with a bunch of copies. He had some copies for us, yada, yada, yada. And I went into school as a proud young kid, telling everyone in the classroom, oh, we've got a book called The History of the Bisping Family. And anyway, the teacher got wind of this, and the teacher made me stand up. Mr. Afrin, I'll never forget this. And I liked Mr. Afrin, even though he did get physical with me a few times. Definitely assaulted me on two occasions. Sexually? But anyway, one time was sexually, the other one was mentally and physically. He said, he stood me up. He said, Michael, stand up. He said, I'm hearing this rumor that you're going around telling everybody there's a book called The History of the Bisping Family. I said, there is, sir. There is. And he insisted that I told him that there wasn't and I wouldn't do it. I said, no, sir. He said, boy, you are lying to me and this entire classroom right now. Admit that you're lying. I said, no. And he fucking went crazy. I think he gave me a punishment, some lines and stuff to do. Oh, the satisfaction. The next day, walking in and going, hey, there you go, sir. I brought it into him and gave it to him. And he went and read it on his lunch break, came back. A fair play to Mr. Afrin. He apologized to the class. So
oh, in front of the class? Well, that was good, at least. At least he knew he was wrong.
Fucking asshole.
Yeah, it's shitty, though. It's so funny that it's such a different time, because me and you are roughly the same age. They used to just be so abusive to little kids. Like, it would be like lawsuits now. I remember my principal, and it wasn't that bad, but my principal, Mr. Lefevre, at North Rockland High School, when I was Lefevre.
That's a great name. Lefevre is going to get you, baby.
And he looked me in the face and said, he was like, you're never going to graduate from this high school. I'm like halfway through the ninth grade. He's like, how is that ever coming out of your mouth to one of your students? It doesn't matter. I don't give a fuck how bad this student is. I don't care what they do. I had ADD. The reality was, I wasn't diagnosed. I just had problems paying attention. I wasn't getting into fights. I wasn't like cursing at teachers. Like I was playing hacky sack in the courtyard and like cutting class to go fucking, you know, go to an extra lunch period. It wasn't anything like crazy. And instead of them sort of reaching out and going like, oh, this is sort of a bright kid that could, you know, do some cool stuff, they treated me like I was a fucking problem. You know, to a point where it's like, you know, I have very little faith in public school systems because I looked at what happened with me. You know, in retrospect, at the time I thought I was a fuck up. They would pound it in my head that I was a fuck up. They would pound it in my head that I wasn't going to do anything, and it was sort of a weird, I don't know, that whole system of teaching kids, I really don't believe in it. I don't, you know, I think it's kind of shitty.
No, I remember. I mean, I was never a bad kid, but I definitely got into a few fights. But the teachers at high school, they really didn't like me. And I remember, well, first of all, they didn't like me when I first got there because I had two older brothers that went there. And I remember first day they said, doing the register, they went, Bisping. I went, here, sir. And they go, any relation to Conrad or Stephen? And I said, yeah, they're my older brothers. And he goes, huh, we'll have to keep an eye on you. That was the first day. And then not to mention any time they asked my dad to come in, my dad would threaten to beat them up. My dad headbutted the school referee at a football fucking, he was threatened to sue the school. So no wonder they didn't like me. Not blaming anyone else. You know, I didn't help the situation either because I was a little shit. But I remember Mr. McNamara one time, he told me, he said, you know, Michael, I'll never forget him saying this, and it really fucking stuck with me. He said, Michael, do you know, some of the female teachers have told me that when they walk past you in a corridor by themselves, it's just them and her, they get a cold chill as they walk past you. And I wanted to say to them, I should have said, I was a kid, so I never said it, but I said, hold on, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? Going on, standing there talking to me like I'm like the devil or something like that. I'm a young, impressionable boy. What the fuck?
But anyway, and it's like that concept, you know, you put it into people's head, be like, oh, especially a young kid who's developing his mind. And he starts going, like, wait a minute, am I a bad person? Why do people look at me that way? Then you start looking at that person that way. Like, well, why do you look at me that way? And you get defensive. And you sort of create a problem that might have never even existed in the first place.
And then you start getting a little bit of success in the UFC. Then all of a sudden he's reaching out to you and wants you to go into the school and things like that. And I saw him in a pub once. And I wanted so bad to go over and as an adult and just have a conversation with him and say, well, I didn't want to have a conversation. I wanted to have a fucking go at him, if I'm honest. And I thought, if I go over and do say anything, I'm just perpetuating that myth. And
it's never going to go. Say,
see, I was right, Michael. You need to let it go. But I was like, how dare you say to a 15-year-old boy the things that you said, like I was some kind of demon, you know what I mean, crawling out of the floorboards and running up a pipe.
Especially like when you have a fucking, obviously, you know, you're dealing with some sort of issues at home. You're dealing with physical violence. You know, You even told me, like, your brothers would beat the shit out of you. That's another side of it as well. Like, even if your mom and dad aren't beating the shit out of you every day, when you have older siblings that are fucking beating your ass, my sister used to scratch me, smack me, punch me. The violence was just, like, an everyday occurrence to me as a little kid, whether it was for my mom, my sister, my grandma, whoever it was. By the way, all women. Everyone says they hate women.
I had mom, dad, two older brothers. As soon as my brothers left school, I had all the older kids in school after me because they wanted to beat me up because Comrade and Stephen had a go with them. So I was getting my ass kicked constantly, right? Anywhere I looked, I was getting violence constantly. I am trying to make you cry, motherfucker. Jesus Christ, my mum would get me with a rolling pin. My dad would get me with a belt and the cane and his fist or whatever. The bullies would get me at school. The teachers would get me verbally. I mean, it's amazing that I'm here today, Lewis. It really is.
Look, I know you're half kidding, but the reality is, I think in spite of that, like, yeah, I mean, that is a really amazing thing. You have to fucking, I'll pat you on the back. You should pat me on the back for the same thing. It's like you break a cycle of a really, it's a really shitty, like, abusive system and situation. And it's like when I had my kid, I knew I was never going to be violent towards my kid. I knew I was never going to threaten him with violence. And I think it, you know, it's a little bit hard and you need a little bit more patience, but I'm so happy now because now we have these great kids who fucking, you know, are compassionate and sweet and they don't, I was going on a rant with Peaceful Parenting the other day on Twitter again and people get so offended sometimes when you sort of bring this up, but it's like, I don't know, man, my kid will never have a memory of me being a person that's violent toward him or her, you know, and I think that that's a really great thing to have and, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
I think
the last place you should fear is at home. You shouldn't look in your mom and dad and fear them. I mean, of course, there's got to be consequences for bad behavior and things like that. You know, you have to be punished, but being punished and being beaten are two very, very different things. And talking of being beaten, talking of children, funnily enough, I'm going to get beat off Rebecca in a moment because I have to go to the school and have a meeting with the teachers. But unlike my dad's style, I won't go in and beat up the teachers or threaten to sue them. Love you, Dad, by the way. But Dad listens to the show all the time. He's like, you fucking asshole, Michael. Why are you talking about that? But it did happen. And you did headbutt the referee.
Dad,
and on that note,
Dad, you got to look in the mirror. You were pretty fucking crazy when he was younger.
It was a different time. It was a different time. In those days, you could go around headbutting a teacher. It was fine. In those days, you could give someone a little jab and nothing would happen. These days, the time changed. And I don't know if it's for the better or for the worse. But on that note, I do got to go. I'm excited for the fights. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to enjoy them. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. Hope you have a good one. And we'll be back with another show on Monday, Lewis.
Beautiful. Guys, check you next week.